Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Jerry is ready to go. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, sir.
You're right, man. I'm ready to go. Excited
Let's
about
roll.
This weekend.
Okay, and I'm excited about this weekend. I think we all are. But even though he looks good to go, does your heart ever skip a beat when Dak pops up on the injury report?
Well, I didn't know he was on the injury report, frankly. And I don't think there's been a little more made of that than is. But maybe it's my mind can't dare go there, even if there's a symptom. So
right.
I haven't recognized him being on the engineering report. I mean, the injury report. Just shows you, I can't even say it. My mind won't let me go there.
Yeah, we can't even put Dak and injury report together. I got you. Now, and I know it isn't new for y'all, but do you believe this run of three games in essentially 11 days is almost always, year after year, a huge part of what defines your regular season?
Well, I think that that's pretty sweeping to make it year after year. But as it turns out, this year is particularly appropriate to say that. You know, the quality teams that we're playing these next three games, the fact that they are in the time span we're talking about right here, really does put an onus on us. And the bottom line is, I think that we all feel like if we were going to go here, let's go here with what we got today. I like where we are. I like where we are with our availability of players. And you don't know if you're going to have that month from now. And you don't know if where you're just I like the spot that we pushed it up here to.
Well, I'm glad you kind of bring that with these specific players, too. But, Jerry, we've been talking about monsters in the middle of this defense for quite a while, and it was nice to see that pay off Monday night. When exactly did you decide we have to invest hard at that spot?
Training camp.
Okay.
Far back as training camp. And that actually was the deal, really. I had tried to get Williams at training camp, and it was a considerable part of the thinking relative to anything we might do with any other players. So when he did become available, it was not foreign thinking or spur of the moment thinking. It would had it on our minds. Really, I've had it on my mind since the beginning of training camp. We need to bolster up the middle of our defense because as you know, I'm going to be very simplistic, but we've been exposed. If you look back over the last several years, we've really been exposed when we got really down to the serious games and at playoff time. And a big part of it was because we couldn't stop that run.
Yeah, something you just can't cover up for sure. I was watching sounds from the sideline, and Quinnen Williams was imploring Ezeraku and Overshown to trust him to do his job, which was going to allow them to go make big plays. And I know we talked a lot about trust earlier in the season, Jerry, but how much did you hear about Quinnen Williams' character before you made the move, and how important was that personality trait to getting him?
We covered him when he came through the draft, and we know what a player he is and what a special, really individual that he is. And that is hard to put in the same body at that position. And you frankly had at the center of the universe pass rushers for a lot of years. And why not go ahead and say pass rusher plus a run stopper? Wait a minute now. That is saying a lot right there. You happen to have one here. You see what he brings to the table, and it does elevate every player around him. And then it elevates that secondary, elevates those linebackers. Boy, he takes up blockers that were getting out on linebackers potentially.
Now, Shoddy has said, looking at the Eagles, he thinks that the team can stop the tush push, and I have no doubt that the plan is in place. I wanted to loop back around and get your thoughts on that play itself, especially since the Eagles have been running it in succession at times, just like third down, fourth down. What do you think about that play?
I give a little more credit to the Eagles' ability to do that tush push better than anybody. And when it was being debated, the Eagles basically said, look, we've just come up with a way. Skill is a big factor here. And everybody can do this. Well, it takes special players, special quarterback to do that. There are some aspects of it that you can criticize. But frankly, man, when you zero in on any play or any particular concept, whether it be defense or offense, you can come up with some critique of it or where it is competitively or what it might do competitively. And then you can come up with all the reasons why not to have it. I've had them take plays out over Roy Williams, our linebacker. That's really where you got the horse collar tackle. You've seen it done with the you saw it done even earlier than that when Michael Irvin would run out there and kind of pop that defensive back kind of subtly on the hip was going straight down. And, of course, next second he was separated by about 2 feet and there the ball was. And, boy, they pulled that out from under us quick at the league level.
Philly seems to have, Jerry, some strife internally in that locker room. Do you think a team and players all have to get along in a locker room to win, or is there some other trait that's more important?
Give me some of that strife. And now, you know, that's by definition, really. And if you mean that everybody, I'll never forget one of the biggest debates ever was what music was going to be played in the dressing room. Was it going to be a little bit of country? Was it going to be a little soul? Or what was it going to be? It became such a furor that we had one big player that nobody would mess with, and he said, guys, we're just going to make it church music. And so they called and so they made it church music. Listen, there's a lot of different thoughts that go on when you have that many people and working together, but that's the importance of the team. That's important to sort out what's important to winning football games. That's the key. What is important to winning football games? Every boat rises. Everybody will get to hear a little more music. They'll get a lot more of happiness if you can all come together and win the game.
Jerry, do you suppose you're a little bit country or a little bit rock and roll?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm just such a great fan. I grew up at the time that you know, Elvis popped up there, and at the same time, Johnny Cash, you said, who is that? What was that coming over that radio? I used to wake up. My dad would play that music so loud about 6:30 in the morning when he was moving around, get me up, and we'd get in there, and he'd be humming around. That was Johnny Cash, and that was Elvis, and everything in between. And by the way, Elvis was a strange sound. But there's some great music over there. I live real close to Memphis, relatively speaking, about 100 miles going up, and that was really a hotbed. You could have a lot of those artists coming out of that Memphis area that were blending that blues with that country sound, and maybe a little soul coming in. I know the Hall of Fame for blues is right there, West Memphis, and so or one of them anyway. So bottom line, heard a lot of that sound being evolving. When we lived, when I was above the grocery store, my sister and I and dad and mom lived above the grocery store. It wasn't like it sounds. It was great. It was great living. But just right across the way was an all night, drive-in. That's where you put the tray on the car, and they'd drive up, and they'd serve Cokes, and then you'd pull your bottle out. And they didn't have drinking and driving back then. But I know this, it was a serenade all night long with Hank Williams and all those songs. I used to make up songs and show Mother, and I'd make those songs up for her. I wanted to be a songwriter.
How much trouble would you get in with your parents or whatever authority figure if you stayed out at that drive-in until 7 a.m. or something like that and broke their rules?
Well, of course, that one, I got up to it. I wasn't 100 feet away from it across the lot, but I think they did make them close in the wee hours. But I didn't have a lot of problems there. I was the driver when I was in high school, and I really was. I'm not kidding. I was the driver, and I was the one that didn't drink. And I didn't drink till I got to college.
Now, CD.
You trying to figure out how to transition out of
no,
that, Corey?
I'm going to stick with it. CD said.
Y'all opened something up. I don't know if you opened this up, but I'm headed there.
Okay. All right. Good. And I was going to make a Sunday morning coming down reference, but here we are. CD said he felt disrespected that people said he was throwing up in the hotel lobby because, quote, I can hold my liquor. And there was an era of party hard Raiders, and the early 90s Cowboys partied hard. Do you have a problem with players partying the night before a game?
Yes, I do. And I don't have any problem with partying, but I do want everybody to have their, when we roll in there and we have the team meetings, we have our special teams meeting, which usually has most of the team that's involved around the special team, except the specialist, of course. And, but still, the idea is this is a business trip. Let's get down to business. Let's check it all. Check it all back in Dallas, and let's get in here. And see, that's the night that they spend the night together. As you know, they can say but it's not quite the same routine, let's put it like that it is when you're home. But still, it's age-old. It's been going on forever. We play a game on Christmas this year. And I remember one year in Tennessee, I got these great Santa Clauses, and we played on Christmas Eve. And these were beautiful. They were porcelain and as pretty a thing as I've ever seen. And they were about 16 inches high and maybe 10 inches wide, and it was a beautiful porcelain Santa Claus. So I dressed up and went around to all the players' room like Santa Claus, and I was Santa Claus and left them each one of those porcelain Santa Clauses. A lot of them still have them.
That's nice.
When was the last time, though, Jerry, that you woke up and said, maybe I had too much last night?
Well, let me tell you this. it doesn't take but a teacup. And, I would like to think that, when I first bought the Cowboys, I had perfect health as far as I knew. And I never went to sleep after I bought. I just couldn't sleep. I was so keyed up and frankly concerned. And so I would drink quite a bit. And not matter of fact, I slept out at Valley Ranch, slept in the main boardroom there. And but the bottom line is that I wouldn't sleep. And then I stay up later, I'd probably have too much. And that combination of things is called a good time heart. A lot of med students get it as well. It's when you just don't ever sleep, and when your body gets tired, you supplement it with a little alcohol possibly or something to keep you going. And it hurt me pretty good there. I've had arrhythmia ever since. And but a lot of people have arrhythmia.
Man, I this is a fascinating direction this conversation has gone. I've enjoyed it. If I can loop all the way back around to the Eagles, I know we were talking about Strife earlier, but what do you think about the job that their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, has been doing this season? Because it feels like there has been some negative comments towards him.
Well, I just think they're being very smart with him. He's being very smart. I'm a big fan of Jalen. He does remind me of Dak Prescott, and they're familiar, similar in a lot of ways. Dak, of course, has that has a tremendous leadership quality that I just couldn't speak to with Jalen one way or the other. But I do know this, that they have some similarity in my eyes. Having said, both of them were outstanding college players. But both of them wasn't expected or thought that maybe there was not quite the stereotype of being a NFL quarterback. But what did they show? I think they're protecting him a little bit, which I understand that too. But it seems like with his ability to run the ball, his willingness to run the ball, his strength, his actual leg strength, which is impressive. Never seen a quarterback have that kind of leg strength. Those are the type things that I think you've got in Jalen Hurts. And if they can push all that up and get in range of a Super Bowl, obviously that can win big games in playoffs. And I know that's their plan.
Jerry, do you think that we felt like this defense looked really good Monday night. We're very excited about it. Do you think this team can be better when Diggs comes back?
Well, I think if Diggs plays at the level that he's expected to play, yes, a big yes. And so it's just amazing what additional healthy talent can do for your execution and game plan. And frankly,
yes.
The production of the players that are playing around that returning our player. So the answer is a big yes there.
How confident are you then specifically that Diggs can play up to the level that y'all need him to?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. No one knows. And so we'll just see how it goes. He's obviously been limited, and we'll just see how that goes.
And Jerry, I we've tried to do this, you know, frequently when we're talking about this, but can you kind of put into words how slim of a margin of error this team has from here on out for the rest of the season?
Yeah, every game is I think we just ought to shrine it, put it up there, play it as though it's one of the last games we'll play. That's a little different idea when you start off and you're playing 17 games and you look forward to potentially being in the playoffs, so you've got a lot of games to go. We have a situation, but we've got the team to do it. We've got a situation where each one of these games, starting right here, not looking past, but starting right here, we can just make we can empty the bucket to beat these guys. And that's what we'll try to do.
Now, the game you've got coming up on Thanksgiving, obviously, y'all partner with Salvation Army and have raised millions and millions of dollars over the years. The day before Thanksgiving, we have our marathon charity show. We'll go for 13 straight hours. Do you have any words of advice or help to get us raise as much money as possible?
Well, it is absolutely such an opportune time. We all have our heart filled with especially the needs of young people that won't have the kind of holidays that they should be having at that time. And so I automatically think of children. That's not where it stops. But I do think of children. It could stop there. But just the ability to step out and make families have a better time, a better thought that there is the charitableness that there really is in Americans' hearts. I think this day says that by the way we turn around and give. And I must say, I could have never imagined that when we did the first Thanksgiving Day tribute to the Salvation Army, kicked the Red Kettle campaign off with Reba McEntire. I'll never forget, Reba and I were on KRLD at the time, and we were talking about what we were going to do on this halftime for the Salvation Army. And my daughter steps in and told me I just lost my father. I had just lost him. So it's a big time for me to think the first time. And I could have never dreamed the Salvation Army will accredit us incrementally for raising over $4 billion since that first Salvation Army recognition. You had the plan in place. You had literally 3 million volunteers and multi-thousands of Red Kettles. And so you had the way for everybody to step up and put a quarter, put a dollar in that Red Kettle, and you had the system in place to get it out to the best way possible with no overhead and put it in the hands of the people that need it through help. It was an ideal thing, and it to me is the perfect way to show what sports can bring apart from the entertainment value of what it brings to people.
That is tremendous. We will try to do our part the day before Thanksgiving as well. Thank you very much, good sir, and best of luck against the Eagles.
Great to be on with you, yes. Bye-bye.
There you go. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Look, I know there's plenty of things to discuss in that, and we veered off in a totally different direction for a few minutes. But the thing I will obviously immediately go back to, and I understand what he's saying. I feel like all Cowboys fans understand what he's saying, is when you ask, can this defense be better with Diggs? If he play, I'm paraphrasing, but if he plays to the level that he's capable of playing,
I think there's an if he plays, too.
Yeah. And
like that's another factor.
Well, and then the follow-up, what's your confidence level that he can play at that level? I don't know.
Yeah, good follow-up, man. Yeah. And that's, I think everybody's in that boat with us.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, I don't think we know either, because and that's why we're asking. But, I mean, like, listen, dude, I saw somebody suggest the other day to Broadus, hey, would you make him a safety? Heck yeah, I'd make him a safety. Can you imagine
him back there
covering ground if he's healthy and capable of it? Like, you're doing okay in some of these. Siobhan Revell was good.
Yeah.
He was good. Now, I don't want to overexpose him yet, but he was good. Bland's good. How are you feeling about Kalen Carson? All right, can you do something else with this guy? Maybe I don't need him to tackle so much and be a Donovan Wilson, but I need somebody back there covering center field. I don't know. There's a lot of good options here, dude. So hopefully he has that desire to be out there and do something special.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page. It's just usually it feels like not only from Jerry, but from team representatives, the right thing to do. And the thing that people usually do is, oh, yeah, he's the best. Or not just about Trayvon, about anything. It's like, oh, of course.
Cause I don't know. It seemed like whenever his name's been brought up, there's been
a
sigh of some sort.
Exactly. Because, like, even Travis Kelce on his podcast was like, oh, I think we still have a chance. And that was a big article. And I was like, well, no kidding. It would be a way bigger deal if he's like, not really.
We're done.
And so just when you hear the straight up, I don't know, that feels real.
Yep.
And I think that's how we all feel.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, let's welcome in Cowboy COO Stephen Jones here into the G-Bag Nation. Stephen, thank you for your patience. How are you, sir? You fired up for this matchup against the Eagles.
Challenge, obviously playing the world champions and a team that's playing as well as anyone this year. It's going to be a challenge, but it's one that we welcome, and we're just fired up that it's going to be at AT&T Stadium, and I think our fans will be fired up, and we got to go out there and execute and do things that we can get that place loud and have some energy and so we can pull this game out.
Well, Stephen, you told us a few weeks back you think this defense can be damn good. And, sir, they looked damn good on Monday night. That Quinnen Williams addition, Savone Rivelle in his first game, you got Overshown back. I mean, what going into this one, how more excited are you about the way this defense can possibly be playing?
Yeah, I just think, you know, the good news, too, is a lot, you know, about half that defense hadn't played together and at all, and some of them, and then some of them haven't been out there for 4 and 5 weeks, but then you have Revel and Overshown and Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson. That's a big number of guys who were making plays out there that we hadn't had out there. But, you know, the good news is I think the air should be up, that they should only get better as they – play together more, and you know, I really think you know, we're starting to find an identity. The guys felt like on tape they were playing fast and confident and with energy, and you know, that's how you play good defense. And hopefully you know, that's a step, and obviously we got to continue to get better. And then flip side of that, the offense I thought really stepped up and really had a great game, and you know, played to, you know, the level that we think they can be. And you know, we just got to continue to put these, you know, put these things together and do them on a week-to-week basis, you know, and be more consistent as we move forward.
Yeah, you talk about the young guys defensively, guys like Revel and even Kalen Carson now in year two. What did you see from those guys on Monday night?
Yeah, I just see some young guys who were hungry to play. You know, I think Carson in particular is really healthy, really healthy for the first time, and you could feel it in his confidence. You know, I think those two are feeding off one another. They know they're young guys in this league, but yet you can see them, you know, working together on iPads and practice and, you know, communicating. And, you know, that's another thing. I think having our two safeties back there as well was just outstanding for the whole defense. I think between Hooker and Dono and having their consistency back there and their confidence and what they're calling and on the back end, I think went a long ways. But I do think, you know, we can continue to get better. We have to get better because obviously we put ourselves behind the eight ball, you know, in the first half of the season with our start. But, you know, it starts one game at a time. It starts against Philly, and couldn't think of a better way, you know, to get it going than for us to go out and play well and figure out how to get a win against a really good football team in front of our home crowd.
Steven, Kevin Hagelin of the Midday Show asked Jerry a question about Diggs, and he asked it in the way of what his expectations were for Diggs as a player potentially coming back. You know, not this week, maybe not even Kansas City because of the short week, but I just wanted to know what your expectations were. Jerry's always really super honest about his assessment. I always appreciate that about him, but I just wondered what you thought about Diggs coming back when he has that opportunity.
Yeah, I think it'll be full body of work. He's obviously putting in the work right now, but as we go week to week here, you know, we want to see that he can be consistent week in and week out. Feel 100%. You know, he plays his best when he's able to get out there and practice all week. And, you know, he doesn't play as well when, you know, he's limited in practice and doesn't get the reps. So, you know, we just need to see consistency out of him week in and week out, because when he does go out there and get the work and put the work in and do it, then, you know, he plays well. And obviously we all know he can be an elite player when he's playing at the top of his game. So, you know, it's probably too early to tell exactly what the expectations should be, other than the expectation is, you know, for him to get back and help us win and for him to play at the level he expects himself to play at, he's going to have to be consistent week in and week out.
Steven Jones with us here on 105.3 The Fan. Dak is on the verge of becoming the all-time passing yards leader in Cowboys history. CeeDee Lamb said he thinks this thing's going to be broken in the first quarter at AT&T Stadium on Sunday. Do you have anything planned for when that moment happens?
Not really. I don't think so. I don't think that's Dak's style. Certainly, we'll have our exchange with him after the game or whenever it happens. But, you know, Dak's about team first. I mean, certainly it's an unbelievable accomplishment of what he's done when you think of the quarterbacks that have played here from Roger Staubach to Don Meredith to Tony Romo, Troy Aikman. What a great group of men. I was fortunate enough to have lunch with Roger yesterday, and he's more fired up about Dak and the Cowboys than he's ever been. But, you know, it's just, like I said, a major accomplishment. But I can tell you what Dak wants to focus on is winning football games, and it all starts Sunday.
Steven, a lot of fans were asking me the question about with Jadon Blue, and I would guess that maybe Malik Davis would be a priority to get on the roster and make some kind of move that way. But kind of just where have things gone? I'm not going to say wrong, but where's it been difficult for Jadon Blue to be a guy that's dressing with you every week?
I think the biggest thing is just the consistency week in and week out. You know, him getting his hands around what it takes to be a pro week in and week out and get it done. He obviously, we've all seen flashes at times, the things that that you want to see. But he's still a young player, and you know, in this league, sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a little time to progress, and you know, we have think Jadon Blue's future is very bright here. He has a you know, some real skill sets that aren't common in most backs, and with his burst and elite speed and some of the things that he can do. So, you know, right now, Javonte's having a hell of a year, and, you know, hard for anybody else to get in a great rhythm because he's getting, Javonte's getting most of the carries, but Malik has shown, you know, that he can come in there and you know, when he gets the, you know, 5 to 10 touches he might get, that they'll be productive and he'll be efficient.
Steven, it seems it's very difficult for Jonathan Mingo to get on the field for you. And I know how coaches operate with, they like, hey, they get comfortable with guys, and you guys don't want to do anything to rock the boat with, you know, the guys you got. But do you have a thought about Jonathan Mingo? And is that just the case? The coaches are comfortable playing with the guys they got right now?
Well, they've, you know, they think a lot of Jonathan. You nailed it here, Brian. I mean, obviously, you know, the first three guys, when you put Terp in that mix, have got really something juicy that they bring to the table, and you know, have plays designed around them. Flournoy has really stepped up and taken on that number four spot, and then of course JT and Mingo are battling, you know, for that fifth spot on game day. And you know, JT's been a productive guy in this league, and Mingo's doing, you know, all the things the right way. It's just, you know, picking the right time where we give him his opportunity. A lot of times that happens naturally with an injury, but, you know, he's got a skill set and a body type that are, you know, certainly, you know, unique in terms of his size and his ability to run and the things that he can do. You know, in the running game as well, he's a physical player, you know, at the point when he's out there blocking. So there's a lot of things he can do well, and he'll get his chance.
Sticking with wide receiver, George Pickens was asked yesterday about his future. He said he'd love to be back with the team after this season. What are your feelings on that? And there's a report that the tag might be where you're leaning with George. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we're worried about game to game right now, but the biggest thing is, anyone who turns on our tape and watches, of course we want George Pickens back. And I think that, you know, watching him and CD and Dak and them executing the passing game is, you know, it's what it's all about when it comes to having an offensive football team that can be explosive, moving the ball, entertaining, making big plays. You know, that's... you'd be crazy not to want to have him back and be a part of this thing.
How'd you like Shotty's approach to the discipline on Monday night for Lamb and Pickens?
Yeah, I think it just goes, you know, he's not going to play favorites with anybody. And, you know, he felt very strongly that, you know, that was part of it. And I think a lot of people thought, well, they had to be together because they are great friends. Yeah. But believe it or not, one was the night before leading into the morning, and the other one was missing the buses. So, you know, hats off to Shotty for, you know, being consistent, being authentic, being genuine, and doing the right thing by the team. And, you know, they did what you would expect them to do, both of them, as they went out and played one hell of a game. Maybe we should have sent the whole team with
I was going to, Steven, I know you get a beautiful bus that you drive around there. We see at the combine all the time. I'd be happy to take the lads around, and if it means them, everybody lighting people up like that.
We might send the whole group.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Last one I wanted to sneak in here for you, Steve, before we let you out of here, but being part of the competition committee, the tush push is something that we're always talking about, and being the Eagles week. To me, it just seems like it's such a difficult play to officiate consistently. What are your thoughts on the tush push, and do you think that maybe this is the last year we're going to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I know we'll address it. Certainly there weren't the votes weren't there to move away from the play last year. It was close, but they weren't there. You know, it's a little difficult for me because a lot of people are going to think if, you know, I'm against it because we got to play them twice a year, and they're very good at you know, executing that particular play. So it's difficult. It's just you know, what, in my opinion, it's you know, is it a good play for our game? And you know, there is no injury data in terms of that would say, hey, it's a dangerous play. It's more of just, is it an entertaining play? And there's a lot of people who don't think, you know, who don't feel that way. But then there's enough votes out there that it stayed alive. I know we'll probably look at it again, see how where we could be better officiating it. And is it something that we still want to have in the game? We'll make that call.
Stephen, my final thing for you. Have you ever seen a punt after a safety for an onside kick? Have you ever seen that happen? And is that something that, you guys, as a competition rules committee, have you talked about stuff like that?
We have it. I'm actually looking forward to it, I assume. And shame on me, I haven't called up to our group to ask, but I assume our deal right there should have been a fair catch.
A fair catch. That's what I thought. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the rule that our guy could have, you know, our guys could have gone up there and fair caught, you know, the punt that he's, you know, obviously bombed it real high in the air. And,
sure.
I think it caught us, you know, be candid. I think it caught everybody by surprise.
Yeah, for sure.
Then you had a unique guy in George Pickens who just snatched it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was one hell of a grab by him. But, as I sit right here, I would say the play should have been to call a fair catch and catch it like a punt.
Right.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for the time, as always, and let's go get that win on Sunday.
Sounds great, guys. Hope y'all have a great weekend. Great to be on.
Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
It is now time for the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, must-listen radio, in our opinion, every Friday at this time here on Sean and RJ, along with Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. It's Brian Schottenheimer, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
What's going on, buddy? Hey, happy birthday, Sean. I mean, hey, what's it feel like to join the over 60 club or whatever? what are you at, buddy? I mean, are we 50, 60? Where are we at, bud?
I'm going to put you on the spot. How old do I look?
I would say you're early 40s.
Okay, 44.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of an insult. I'm mid-40s, but.
There you go. Over 43. There you go.
Thank you, Coach. I do appreciate that. And looking at Schottenheimer, people are always like, "How's he been coaching for this long? He still looks that young. He's been in the league since the womb, basically."
Yeah, There's no question. Yeah, it's just good genes, I guess. I got better vision than my pops. He had those Coke bottle glasses, but pretty good genes, I guess.
Coach, how do you plan for or defend the tush push?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing you should do is go trade for a guy by the name of Quinnen Williams. I think,
there you go.
That always helps. Now, really, there's not much you can do. I do think the league's done a good job. They're trying to, you know, make it officiating it the right way where everybody's got to get off at the same time and things like that. But it's hard, guys. It's a battle of leverage. And, again, it's funny because every time we play Philly, it's the first question, not just out of your guys' mouth. It's like every time I step to the podium, it's like the tush push.
Yeah.
And really, I want to be talking about, well, how do you stop Saquon Barkley? How do you stop Jalen Hurts? How do you stop, you know, but it's always the tush push. And I get it. It's one of those plays that just kind of grabs everybody's attention, but it's very difficult to stop.
Do you view it like Dan Campbell, like, hey, they came up with something, give them credit. It's basic man on man. This is football. Or like me, it's a bunch of BS and you shouldn't be able to push players in the back and false start. Which way do you lean?
I go back and forth. I really do. Just being honest, I think at the end of the day, you know, if you come up with something and you're good at it, and if people are even talking about changing rules, then it means you're really, really good at something. And but again, I'm more of a give them credit, they're good at it, than I think it should be illegal or whatever. I could go either way with it.
Coach, this is your first time as head coach that you're game planning for an opponent that you've already seen this season. Is that proven to have any advantages, or I guess do you just have to maybe throw out most of that out the window? How are you approaching that, getting to see them a second time?
Well, I think, you know, there's different challenges just because it's been, you know, this is a weird week. It's a unique week. These next couple weeks are going to be a little bit unique. You know, get home at 3:30 or whatever on Tuesday morning and right back at it pretty quick and into it. But the familiarity of getting ready to play a team the second time definitely helps. And what we do is each time we play an opponent that we are going to face or might face in the playoffs, we always – when we're watching the film, when we're done, we kind of make a list of things we would want to do differently or use ways we want to attack them more the next time we play them. And so, well, we dusted that stuff off a little bit. But, again, that's kind of the starting point.
Coach, kind of going back on that to week one, and because they didn't have Carter for the whole game, because, you know, they added Phillips, and then, you know, we didn't have Clowney or Quinnen and Overshone and Logan, can you really get an accurate representation of either defense going back to that game?
I would say the answer to that is, you know, probably no. Jalen Carter is an incredible player. We know that. He's, you know, one of the more dominant forces inside that I've had to put in a long time. And then certainly, you know, I say it this way. I mean, you know, when they went and got Jalen Phillips, you knew – you know, Vic Fangio, let's be honest. I mean, he's right now the creme de la creme of defensive minds in the game, and the tree of coaches he's put out there is incredible. But for him to be interested in a guy like Jalen, having exposure and experience with him in Miami, just screams the fact that you knew the impact that he was going to have. And he's a great player. And again, I mean, they're extremely talented, man. Their front seven, you know, I would put their front seven up there against anybody. Davis is playing great. You know, the linebackers, you know, Zach's a great player. You got N'Kobe Dean, you got Campbell, and then, you know, you got Cooper DeJean. I mean, they're really, really good, and they're a heck of a challenge, and those are the challenges that we look forward to.
Coach Brian Schottenheimer here on 105.3 The Fan. Love your football tutorials. So do the best you can in being generic to explain what Fangio does of lining up like this, and then it changes mid-play. Bobby attempted to give us a very subpar education on it earlier in the show.
Cover six.
So let's ask for yours, Coach, how things change mid-play and how complicated that is.
Yeah, well, it's all – well, number one, I'm sure Bobby did a great job. I really do believe it. And matter of fact, Bobby shared his notes with me. So let me dust off his notes that he sent me so I can make sure I'm using the right words, Bobby, that we talked about.
Absolutely.
But, no, at the end of the day, it's everything comes out of a cover four or a shell-based defense. And really, in reality, they've got a number of things they can do. So they can drop the strong safety down and play a version of three match where it's man-to-man across the board and the safety's hanging to the backside. They can drop the other safety down and play a form of three-week buzz or three-week match where they're playing man-to-man everywhere and the safety's tilted one side. They can play just true cover four, which they'll do, where it's basically – quarters, and they've got, four guys or two guys kind of back playing, quarters, and they're playing man across the board. But what he does a really good job of is the rotation in the cloud. They can change their cover two side. So they can cloud the passing strength. They can cloud the boundary. They can cloud a person, we want to cloud CD. So they're going to cloud CD. And it just puts the quarterback in a bind where he has to make, very, very quick decisions very late. So it affects his read process. And, of course, that little bit of hesitation allows the absolute dogs that they got rushing the passer to try to get closer to the quarterback and affect, what he's seeing and feeling.
See, Sean, just like I said. Okay. Coach, Dak had a quote to Mike Silver after the game where he said, "It's not one game at a time. We don't have that luxury. We've got to think of the whole thing. We have to go on a run." Are you guys at the point where your margins are such that you have to think about the rest of the season in a broader context than just week to week?
Yeah, I mean, we have to stack some wins. I mean, you guys know that. Our biggest thing is we've been, too inconsistent this year. We play really well, and then we take a step back, and then we play really well. And, we put ourselves in this position. It's a very competitive conference, as we all know. We're hanging around, but yes, we put ourselves in a position where we have to stack wins. We have to, go on a little bit of a run here where you're getting, obviously it starts with getting a second win in a row, and then hopefully three and four. And you want to be doing that this time of year anyways, guys, because you don't want to be able to win one and lose one, because, going into the playoffs, you want to have confidence.
I know what your answer is going to be, but let's just see if it's different. What do you subscribe to more? The guys up front helping the secondary, or the secondary helps the front?
I'm a own the line of scrimmage guy, so I'm always going to start with the big fellas. And I really do believe that playing the quarterback position like I did at a very bad level, but playing it nonetheless. When you're getting knocked around and hassled up from the guys up front at the quarterback position, even in the run game, it's just it's tough. And so I'm going to go with the big fellas.
Coach, Monday was just the third time that you guys have been able to put your offensive line out there, the one that you entered the season with, that you've had them all together. And we've heard, coaches, players talk about the importance of continuity. Could you just break down why continuity makes the entire line itself play better?
Yeah, well, everything that we do is orchestrated, right? They're all working together. It's not, five guys just, okay, you go block this guy and the rest of the other four guys have to block one guy. There's combination blocks. There's deals where they have to be able to read each other's mind. And when defensive line games or stunts, so a guy's in the right B gap and all of a sudden on the snap he moves into the left A gap, that involves not just the right guard but the center and the left guard. And so, those things don't happen verbally. Those things happen instinctively. Those things happen based on guys working together. And the only way to develop that, guys, is to really not just play together, but to work together. And the way you work together in our league, different than basketball, right, is through practice. Like, I find basketball fascinating because I'm not saying they don't practice, but they play so many games. They've got their shoot-arounds and things like that, where our game is we practice way more than we play. And so you need those things where you can, I trust that Tyler Smith's going to be there if I'm Cooper Beebe. I didn't make that call, but I know he feels this. And I think that's why it's so important that you get those five guys working together as much as possible.
Brian Schottenheimer joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. Coach, I love other people's drama, not my own. I love other people's, and that's what's going on in Philly. I'm sure you've heard about the A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts drama, his usage or lack thereof. What have you seen on film? Is he not being used? Is he open? Is he covered? Like, what have you seen from and your thoughts on the amount or lack that they have used him?
Well, again, look, they've got a philosophy, and right now their philosophy is winning games in terms of the way they're playing, and I get it. AJ's an incredible player, and I'd be honest with you, Nick, Sirianni, his staff know how to use him better than I would, but and it's very political for me to say that, but, like, in reality, I don't want to piss him off either, so I want to be very honest and say, look, at the end of the day, they're charged with winning games, and that's what they're doing, and Jalen's got a ton of weapons, and AJ's a great player. Devontae Smith's a great player. Goddard's a great player.
Saquon Barkley, obviously, is a guy they probably should hand the ball off to quite a bit. So, again, you know, different than you, I like to deal with my own drama. than
dramas. Wasps and snakes and wildlife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer joining us here on 105 through the Fan. Shotty, so there's been a lot of moving parts in the secondary due to injuries, obviously, and you guys appear to be pretty healthy there right now, but you're still missing Trayvon Diggs, who remains on IR. How's he progressing, and is there anything you guys do differently to try to make sure players remain engaged when they are on the shelf?
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Number one, he's doing really good, progressing well. We keep guys very involved. I mean, they go to meetings. They do everything that the normal players do. They just can't, you know, they can't practice. And, you know, that's hard on them sometimes. But while we're practicing, they're out there with us, and they're, you know, doing their rehab drills with Britt Brown and Jim Maurer and their staff. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think the bigger thing for me is when you talk about our secondary, it was so great to get both the safeties back last week, both Hook and Donovan Wilson. And I'd be crazy if I didn't mention just, you know, how well, I mean, Deron played great. Obviously, that's come to be expected from him. But, like, again, you know, Kalen Carson, man, he played really, really well. And we've been on Kalen about raising his level of urgency 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. And, man, he really stepped up. And then, of course, it was great to get Revel out there and watch him, you know, play with his physical confidence style. And so I think we're really excited about kind of where we are right now in our secondary.
Talking about all those guys that you got back, and obviously the guys that you added, Logan Wilson, Quinnen Williams, guys like that to the defense, does it feel a little bit like you guys have the benefit down the stretch of being a defense that the league hasn't gotten really to see on tape?
I think that's fair. I mean, I really do. I think that's fair. I think, you know, anytime you – you know, we've been saying this for a long time. There's help on the way. We obviously didn't anticipate the Quinnen thing, and that's obviously a game-changing deal just because he's such a talented – player, but also an incredible young man and teammate and all that stuff. But I would say that's fair. But again, you know, we've done it once. Now we have to do it again. And I go back to my comment earlier about, you know, we got to be consistency and we got to compete every day and be the best version of ourselves. And at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. But to do it once doesn't matter. Like we said, we got to stack wins. And the defense is going to have to play really well this week because we're playing a very, very good football team with a very, very good defense. And I'm not saying it's going to be a low scoring game, but the way they've been playing lately is they've been holding people to, you know, low scoring numbers.
Coach, you know, against the Raiders, you obviously sat CeeDee and George Pickens, future Hall of Famer George Pickens, by the way, for that first possession. Choppy's
the president of the fan club.
Yeah. Tell George I need a number three jersey.
Hey, I want to be a member of that as well because I'm already in CD. So put me in, you know, send me the mail or fly right, or whatever I got to sell.
I got you. But take me through the thought process, the philosophy of wanting to discipline a player or players, send a message versus the impact that it could have on the team and ultimately the outcome of the game and how you go through that decision making process.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty easy, guys. I mean, you know, we have a standard of things that we, you know, want to do and what we expect from all of our guys. And again, my job is to uphold that. And at the end of the day, you know, we did that. And like I said, you know, you guys saw my reaction. You know, we made the decision that we made. We had great conversations. They both understood why we did it. And then, of course, after CeeDee's first touchdown, you guys saw how excited I was to go over there and love on those guys because. Again, you know, they're like, you know, my kids, like I love them. And sometimes, you know, when they do something that doesn't maybe marry up with exactly what you're trying to build, then you have to, you know, have different conversations. But man, I love those guys. And I thought the energy that they brought, after, they went back in the game was just incredible. And our guys fed off of it.
Last and most important question. Can you hold your liquor?
Yes, I can. And you guys know why. Because you guys bought wimpy-ass lemons and into the vodka. I mean, all I could taste was vodka when I used your guys' lemons. I mean, literally, it's like, I was like, golly, this is the strongest drink I've ever made. But it's because you guys gave me those wimpy-ass lemons.
You're forgetting it's my birthday. You already forgot. It was only 15 minutes ago. You were nice. Don't be mean.
I'll handle the lemons next time, too, Shotty. Don't worry. We'll make sure they're handled.
I love it, and I'm going to get you guys some nice liquor, and believe me, the lemons will be huge, so don't worry about that.
Coach, thank you so much. Radio Gold, as always, best of luck on Sunday. We can't wait to watch.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. Brian Schottenheimer, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys.
Third down, close to four on the right hash at the 37. Prescott with time. Slant, Pickens. First down, cuts left, running away. Got a block, made the 45, broke a tackle. 50, 45, 40, 38.
How much is George Pickens going to cost now? Is he the best wide receiver on the Dallas Cowboys? Is it going to be an either-or situation? Do you give him the money now? Do you franchise tag? Do you wait until the offseason? These are all the questions to get into right now in the home of the Cowboys in the commercial-free expressway here on Sean and RJ, along with Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. Schottenheimer was asked about this the other day. He said, sign me up. I love the firepower that he and CD give us. I pinch myself at times calling plays. I'm very in favor of George having a long-term future with us in Dallas. Schottenheimer will join us tomorrow at 8:30.
We'll be all in.
We are all in. I am all in on GP. And, you know, I get just the every moment I get a little faith in humanity, Twitter brings me right back down to earth.
Yeah.
People are like, how can you? Why are you trying to divide the fan base? Say, draw a line in the sand, Pickens and CD. Guys, I'm having fun here. Okay, yeah. This is my man crush. Just let me have a man crush.
Yeah, no, you are.
Please let me have a man crush.
Nope. You are dividing the fan base. Just like whenever you talk about anything that happened during the practice week, you're exposing our secrets to the other team.
Right.
You're destroying the value in a trade if you're talking about how the Cowboys want to trade. So all of these things, you do it.
Yeah. How dare you post that about CeeDee Lamb at 7:30 in the morning?
I had to mute. People weren't fighting with me or getting upset. There were so many people reacting to this. I had to mute the conversation because I couldn't see anyone else on my timeline after putting up the rumor that CeeDee Lamb was throwing up at a Vegas casino at 7:30 in the morning. 2.8 million views on this thing.
It's not like this is, what are we doing? What are we doing?
But you have suggested that CeeDee Lamb should be treated as the next Amari Cooper. And this is a typical RJ-ism to where when they do it, you will brag and say, I told you. I've been saying that, but then when you get attacked, you're going to be like, oh, I'm just joking around. I'm just playing.
Yeah. Oh, and when it turns on him and when it really becomes the next Amari Cooper, then he'll say, why did we ever trade him? This is a three-receiver league. You need three receivers to start. Why would you ever just rely on one?
I'm not saying we have to move him.
So, look, you're Mr. Team Builder. Is it smart team building to pay three D tackles $20 million and two receivers this much?
No, we should get rid of all three of the defensive tackles. all three of them.
There it is.
But yes, you have to ask yourself: is it smart to pay a quarterback and two wideouts $130 million?
All right. So this is one of my favorite exercises, and it's one of my favorite exercises because I think we pretty much nail this almost every time. So we like being correct. Stop me and buzz me where you think George Pickens will fall when it comes to his next salary per year.
Okay. So this is going to be like Price is Right, the yodeling man going up?
Jamar Chase leads the way. Jamar leads the way at 40.2.
Oh, man, I don't know about that one.
Nope.
Justin, he's better than Jamar, but...
Justin, by the way, so... My brother and Bobby is the reason why the two of them bonded so much when my brother came to visit.
We're ball knowers.
They both love the diva receiver. Have you always loved? Are you in that category as well? Are you throwing George in the Ocho, T.O., Randy Moss category? What is it about him that you love?
I think I never thought of it that way, that I love the diva receiver, but I think I do. I think I do love something about it.
You need it at receiver. Yeah, you've got to be, if you're going to be out there on that island, you have to be all game thinking like, I am so much better than you standing across from me. And so, with that comes it permeating everywhere else a little bit.
Because, Deion was the diva corner, right? You need an element of that. I didn't feel Revis was the same. I mean, he was a diva from a...
Revis didn't talk.
Yeah, he never said anything. He was more silent, but,
Did you love Deion?
Yeah, I love Chad. I mean, Ocho, that little list he had.
That was all-time brilliant.
You know what happens when you're not a diva receiver? You're Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, wow. I mean, you know, you go to the hall.
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, I think you know it's unfortunate.
All right, let's try to find the slot here. Justin Jefferson, 35. CeeDee Lamb, 34. DK, here's the problem right here. DK is at 33, and Garrett Wilson is 32.5.
Stop. Between CeeDee and DK.
What if they say CeeDee is the floor and maybe a tiny bit more? Look at my numbers. Who's the number one on this football team? I'm speaking as David Mulugeta.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, David Mulugeta, you add the Mulugeta tax. As we found out, we told you it was going to happen with Micah. He got $4 million more than what we thought, you know, because it was just barely beat TJ Watt. That's what Jerry was saying. Jerry's like, my money is the money. I'm going to match the market value. Mulugeta gets $3 or $4 million more than that.
Yeah, so T. Higgins is roughly where he should be. Probably a little ahead of T. Higgins.
Who?
Pickens. So that should be 30. And assuming the way that they typically negotiate, they'll get around 30.
No, no, no. Why am I starting at T. Higgins? I'm starting at DK.
You're starting a little above T. Higgins because T. Higgins is the best representation of where Pickens' career has gone.
I don't care about where it's gone.
And that's why you get three to four more.
I am he right now. No, no. Yeah. Don't even talk to me about T. Higgins.
They will.
Mulugeta's not going to listen. It's 28-7. It doesn't matter what the career has been.
That's why he won't get that. He won't get that. I'm not saying he'll get that, but I'm saying that's where I think most of the league would say, you're 30. And he would, I think that eventually, like, Mulugeta and his side would go, no, we're not. They'll probably say we're 35 is what we are. And then they end up at 33, 33, 5, something like that.
I could see them ending up in the 33 to 35 range.
My gosh.
I don't know that.
By the way,
Mark this time, Peyton. 2 years, $66 million is what it will look like. It'll be a 4-year deal, but ultimately when we look at it, it'll look like a 2-year, $66 million deal with not as many guarantees behind it.
We should put that on the wall. Wait, or we're not allowed to put things on the wall in our brand new studio at home. Cool.
Based on what he has done.
Not without a magnet.
Based on what he has done this year, I mean, he is top of market. Or close to it, based on what he's done this year.
Yeah.
Now
But my counter to what you're about to say, what Mulugeta should say is, name me the Steeler quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Don't be blaming George for that. 1 year, this guy's had a legit QB, and he may be better than CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. So I don't care about Kenny Pickett. And
right. I don't either.
The dead remains of Roethlisberger leftovers, whoever the hell else. What's Russell Wilson?
Yep.
Don't talk to me about that. There was no quarterback throwing to him.
No, I agree. I would, if you came to me and you said, like, look, this is the number, and it's we're in Ja'Marr Chase territory. I mean, I'm like, he deserves it.
So let's
has earned that money.
Let's call it 33.
I mean, mm-hmm. I am signing up for 33. If I'm me,
if you're Jerry, you have to be Jerry.
If I'm Jerry, I run, I sprint to give him $33 million.
Why?
Because you're getting a top whatever receiver in the NFL under market value.
How is it under market value?
Well, because the top of the market's 40. Now he's not. I'm not saying
you're not under market value if you're not the best receiver.
Yeah, that's a receiver market doesn't work like quarterback.
33, you think is a deal?
I think so. What's CD at?
34.
A deal. You're getting the best. You're getting a better receiver for less money.
Boy, you just love digging. Literally, I keep forgetting his face. I need to pull last Friday because he's smirking right now. Last Friday, when I gave him the opportunity, I was like, "Tell Nick Harris about this."
I don't know Nick.
He goes to Nick. He goes, "I'm not saying Pickens is a better receiver than CeeDee Lamb. You know, I think he's a good player. Like, totally softened.
I don't have to say it. His play speaks for it."
Let's be honest here for 10 seconds. We have to go around the room. You just have to give me a name.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the better player between the two?
Okay.
I'm thinking about it, but I'm still taking CD.
Lamb. I don't even think about it.
You don't think about it?
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to fight you.
Pickens is very good. I'm not downplaying Pickens. Lamb is definitely better
than
me.
I think I trust CD more. I think George can do things. I think there's an extra.
Yeah, give me the difference in their game to where you had zero hesitation, Bobby.
To me, Lamb is going to be a more consistent player.
Yeah,
right? Lamb is down in, down out. I know exactly what I'm getting. Pickens pops, and then he's done that throughout his career. He's played much more consistent this year. But I think that, in general, there is going to be an Albert Haynesworth question here for some people. Like, of, why is it the contract year? Are you a contract year guy?
Right.
And
so if it is, and you're saying you're taking George?
I'm taking George. It's close, but I think George is.
So, Bobby, if it is 34,
mm-hmm.
are you doing it?
Yeah, probably. If I can structure it to basically be 2 for 68, which I think it probably would be.
Now, the tag.
Because 30, by the way, 34 for Pickens is not the same as 34 was for Lamb. Because Lamb was signed at 34 when the cap was much lower. So as a percentage thing, it's not the same impact on your cap a few years later.
So why do you not become the Bengals?
Oh, you do. You do. Well, you don't become the Bengals because, I mean, you don't have Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow's not reliably healthy. Now, neither is Dak. So from that standpoint. But
from,
yeah,
from
do,
your team building salary cap and where you're dividing the pie,
because
how is this best for you?
Because I've got two first round picks next year. I've already got guys like core players on rookie deals or under contract already. Bland is under contract. Ezeraku was just drafted. Overshown is, if that's somebody who's coming back, that should be, like, if he comes back and plays the way he could, then you've got control over him for a few years. You've got Quinnen Williams under your deal, and they've got those two first-round picks to continue to throw at the defense, and then everybody else on offense is pretty much under contract now.
Tolo, Jake, getting Pickens extended should be priority number one in season. Right now, he unlocks the entire team with Pickens. Offense has ultimate versatility and ability to create matchups. Play calling is simple. Dak can get the ball out quick. You have unique ability to play ahead and from behind with this elite duo, creating a light box. Unusually doubles opening up as easy plays. Defensively, you can be in attack mode. Cowboys are a top five team with this roster moving forward. The Bengals quarterback problem is health, and that wide receiver duo isn't on this level because Higgins can't sniff Pickens.
903, y'all never mentioned the number of drops CD has. Pickens' drop rate over his career is worse than CD's. Now, this year, CD has a higher drop rate because of that Philly game where he had three of them, essentially three or four of them that were just crucial. But in general, the drop rate for their careers, Pickens has not been as sure-handed.
I want to know what the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line is saying, just on who they think is better, who they would pick moving forward. What if the, what do you think the money is? What would you do if the money is $33 or $34 million a year? And then I'll bring in Mike Florio's opinion. The projected receiver franchise tag would be at least $28 million in cash and cap charges. As you always talk about, choppy, can't manipulate, it's going to be 28. It would allow Pickens to take a stand, declining to accept the tender and staying away for all the offseason training camp and preseason if he wants. Number starting with 3 here. After the Cowboys traded a first-round pick for Amari, they let Cooper finish his rookie deal in 2019 before signing him to 5 for 100. And after playing out a total of $40 million in 20 and 21, they traded him to make way for Lamb. And so the overall collection of outcomes has to include the possibility of eventually trading Lamb and keeping Pickens. It sounds crazy on the surface, especially in the short term. A pre-June 1 trade would come with a total cap charge of $42.8 million, also limiting the 38.6 number for next season. The more likely approach will be to exercise the automatic restructure option, knocking Lamb's cap number down by $18 million or so and kicking the rest of it into future years. If it doesn't happen in 26, the either or decision could come in 27 or 28. And then I even heard some people speculating that Dak restructures to lower his number to keep George.
See, now what you're doing when you do that, I mean, you are probably, is that, would that be a restructure or an
extension?
They have
to restructure him. They have to restructure.
Because they can't go into next year's cap numbers in the 7.
No, that is 100% happening. He's getting restructured. He has to be. His number's too big.
So that means you're kicking the can with him.
But the contract was structured to kick the can. And there's no...
The void years?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was structured to be able to spread that money out. And the way he's playing right now, I don't think anybody thinks of it as kicking the can. Because he's playing at a level that tells you, okay, he looks like he's going to be fine for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, if you think he's going to be on this team in 3 years, then absolutely, you have to.
Three?
Maybe even extend him.
Maybe even give an extension.
Pepe, what are the Tolos saying?
Right now, 214 says GP is way better than CeeDee Lamb. 903 would sign GP for 33 per year. 817, GP over CeeDee, another GP over CeeDee. And 817 says, I'm afraid GP will cost at least 40 per year.
And I'll tell you, I would not tag him. Like, that's the least, that's the last option. That's option three.
See, to me, that's option one.
Because if you tag him, I think all your concerns.
Yep.
Are realized. So like with your,
they will tag him to hold him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then we'll see what they do from there.
So, in my ideals, and I've been burned by this a couple of times here. I'm wait and see guy.
You're Jerry. I want to see all the leaves.
Yep.
You want to see all the leaves.
I want to see. I want to see more leaves. I want to see more attitude and maturity. Leaves fall. It burned me once with Dak. And it could burn me here to where – go ahead, Bobby.
I want to ask a question, and I don't know this. So I'm just throwing it out there. So George Pickens' reputation in Pittsburgh was bad, right? And here in Dallas, it's been much better. But, like, when you go back and look, like, sometimes it was he would chirp a little bit too much, but a lot of the issues were things that were going on behind the scenes. Is there a possibility that some of the – tardiness or flakiness, has that actually been cleaned up, or it's just more tolerated in Dallas than it is in Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
Because I think that's something to consider, is that he may be similar in that way.
More tolerated, he just got benched.
No, right, like, that's a different question. That's an over-the-line thing. But I'm talking about, like, the stuff that drives people nuts in Pittsburgh, like, you were 10 minutes late to the meeting, or you were this or that. Like, I just wonder.
When Pickens does some of the stuff on the field, it like, in terms of just, he's a 15-yard taunt waiting to happen.
Yeah, he is.
I just wonder, I want to know how different he is behind the scenes. Dak and Lamb talk like he is. Like, he's model. He just loves, Dak would call it, Dak says he's playing like a kid. That's the joy that leaves many athletes as you go on throughout your career. And that's what Dak is attributing it to.
I think it's a great compliment for an athlete.
It is a very good compliment. Like, but my ultimate dream scenario, the only thing I don't have an answer to is the $28 million cap charge. And I don't have an answer to what happens with Mulligan and him blowing it up emotionally if he's pissed off over it. Tag him and let me see one more year of how he acts behind the scenes and in the locker room. Is this your, you know, your honeymoon period? It is. It is your honeymoon period, but that could end up costing me even more, and it has burned me in the past. But right now, I don't have an answer for that cap charge. It's an ugly, very ugly.
It's an ugly number, man.
Ugly number at $28 million if you tag him. But I'd like to see one more year to know exactly who I'm dealing with.
Well, I know who I'm dealing with. I know. I'm dealing with somebody who's right between Jefferson and Chase. That's who I'm dealing with.
Florida.
Like, hey, you should.
Florida.
I want him here. Like, I want him here. And I want him to be, I think Lamb and Pickens together extends Dak's career. I think it makes the offense more functional, all of that. I think you can still build the defense the way you want. But I do think that, like, if we're talking about who is better and if we do need to prioritize somebody, as somebody just pointed out on the fan text, defenses, NFL defenses still tell you it's CeeDee. The way they decide to cover the two of them, it's CeeDee.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, this doesn't need to be an either or.
No, but if you're saying, like, we've got to talk about resources and say we can't pour that much into two receivers. If it's just a question of can you function with two receivers costing that much, do it. Because I think he kind of.
What do you think about my 1 year delay to see who he is?
I understand you don't want the Diggs situation. You don't want to pay somebody and then they're different as soon as they get the check. I don't think he would. I think Pickens kind of is Pickens.
Mm.
And I just think that he likes it better in Dallas, I think, is part of it. It's just he clearly likes hanging out with CeeDee, maybe a little too much. They love running around. They're buddies, though. He and Dak have good chemistry. I imagine that for him and how bad the quarterbacks were in Pittsburgh, this has been like super refreshing to him of like, oh my gosh, I can actually be used the way I want to be used.
All right, let us know. 877-881-1053, Franklin Injury Attorney text line. I wanted to say that big, long discussion for the Expressway.
By the way, we're only 10 games into the season. He needs 6 more catches for his career-high interceptions. He needs he's already at the second highest receiving yards he's had in his career. He's already passed his career high in touchdowns in a season. Wow. So, like, all of this stuff is his success rate percentage on catches in the previous years was 48.8, 50.9, 44.7. It's 68.7 right now.
Woo!
He's playing at a much higher level than he ever has in his career.
Okay, let's hook you up for turning it on and leaving it on 105.3 The Fan, and then we'll get local. But baby,
you hardly even know. All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call our number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see Jack Johnson at the Dos Equis Pavilion on Sunday, August 30th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Eagles insider Ross Tucker will join us at 8 o'clock this morning on DFW Sports Station. We'll go below the belt at 8:40. We'll finish up this Mavs scandalous story from Tim McMahon, Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, and another Jack Johnson ticket giveaway if you're not winning it right now in the 9 o'clock hour.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.